Welcome to the Glenelg Hopkins CMA's podcast series on Landcare Leaders, where we're talking to landholders and community members who've invested in landcare in their local area and are now seeing the biodiversity benefits on the ground and in their communities. In this episode, we meet Bobby and Angus McLean from Pigeon Ponds, north of Coleraine in southwest Victoria. When Angus McLean and his wife Bobby moved back to the Pigeon Ponds district in 2014 and purchased a farm, it hosted almost the entire population of the region's rabbits. They could not have realised how much change they could influence on a property in just 12 years through fencing, revegetation and regeneration. With a new bridge, a new watering system that lifts water almost 80 metres up their steep hillsides and a creek area that is now abundant in regeneration, the McLeans are now farming in an environment that is safer, healthier and more productive than ever.
Well, there's 1,280 acres here of undulating country, quite steep in a lot of areas, which has been very challenging with a lot of the fencing requirements and trying to protect the creeks. We also have quite a challenge with the native wildlife. We've done the best we can. So
you bought this property in 2014, I think you said, and it was, it was pretty much a blank canvas by the sound of it.
It would have probably been easier if it was 100% blank canvas with the fencing that was on it. But yes, we had 7 paddocks. One was 600 acres and one would have been 300 acres. So stock management around that was quite challenging.
When you first got here, what was your vision for the future? What were you hoping to do here?
Management.
Yeah, we knew when we bought it, it was a rundown place, and originally driving around looking at it, we could see a lot of potential with a bit of time, a bit of care, some fencing, some, well, you'd really call environmental management through. We could see straight away if we fenced off all the creeks, and actually the benefits to that would be huge, both through stock management, property management, and for the creeks themselves, which were getting a fair pounding from, like, a lot of the banks were getting pretty worn down and things like that. So taking them out allowed all that to come back, which is, and then allowed us to actually fence off the place to make it much more manageable and a lot safer to manage by fencing out a lot of the steeper country. We could see a lot of potential. Just knew there'd be a lot of work.
And the landscape, so the soil type is sort of is sandy loam, and in some places very sandy. And so, yeah, it's steep, sandy. It's not easy to establish perennial pastures in, particularly.
Have had a lot of, we've tried several different options and several different things. Can get them in, we can get them up and going for 12 months. It's maintaining them after the 12 months has been difficult. Whether it's to do with how we've done it or what seasonal conditions. We're still persisting on that to do what we can. It's been a challenge.
In the time you've been here, there's been a huge fencing job and planting job, but you've also had some key infrastructure put in with that amazing bridge.
We've got a pretty impressive bridge that connects one side of the farm to the other side because the creek or deep creek runs essentially through the middle of the farm. It was, during wet times, impossible to get stock from one side to the other. So that has been a amazing infrastructure, very much appreciated infrastructure, joined up with the laneway system.
And fencing off very steep gullies and tributaries into Deep Creek as well. So it's, you've been able to achieve a lot in a short amount of time from an infrastructure point of view. In terms of planting out those gullies, it's been a bit of a mixed bag from what you were saying.
I don't think it has been as successful as we would like, but whether that's seasonal conditions or native wildlife or the plant species, I think it's a combination of all of those factors. But,
natural. But on that, we have had a lot of success with, naturally re-veg by itself. You know, little suckers, especially in the black woods, are very noticeable that there's a lot of little ones of those coming back up through the fenced off protected areas. And so seems to be a lot of success in that aspect.
As you were saying, Bobby, this landscape has very old established red gum trees, and they have been able to establish themselves in this environment over a very long, long period of time. But to then try and put some more trees in there has been difficult. So has the rainfall changed? Has the landscape, what's changed that makes it more hostile to young trees?
I think the water levels naturally have changed over the years, because you can see we've got one paddock that has, we call it yew tree, and it has had a re-veg naturally of red gums in a yew tree, in a U-shaped fashion, from would have been a wind event, and they would be 15, 20-year-old.
I'd say 20.
20-year-old estimate. And there's not a lot else that, until we're getting down into the fenced off areas, there's not a lot of other paddock orientated individual red gum trees coming up. So I think historically there's been enough rain for them to grow and establish themselves, but I think over recent years they're not there naturally.
So do you think in future, with the fenced off areas with stock excluded from gullies, would you expect to see more self-seeded red gums?
Absolutely. I think we're already seeing young immature trees coming up, and they're not being eaten off by the stock, and the rabbits have decreased at the moment, but yeah, the trees are establishing enough to continue growing.
Yeah, so you've had a real rabbit issue here over the times, but it yep. sounds as though you're very much on top of them at the moment.
Yeah, when we first bought the place, there was I would have said it was nearly a rabbit refuge. There was rabbits everywhere, and we knew that something needed to be done. So we actually had we organised through a local land care group. We got a lot of assistance from them and a lot of advice from them. We had a dozer come in and rip for about 4 days, just ripping all the burrows where we could. And then we followed that up with a team of that went in and fumigated everything, which we had a really, really good result with. So now the rabbits is still the odd one or two poking around, but nothing like the numbers we were seeing. Like you were seeing hundreds on a daily basis. Well, now we're lucky to find a rabbit. So, which has been really, really good success. Something that, as I said, a lot of credit to both the fumigators and the ripper operator. They did an awesome job.
So, in terms of the work you've done here, there's been a lot of dual benefits to the environment and the farm in terms of cleaner water, separate water points, which has been difficult because you've got you've got to pump water a very long way up hills, and then you from what you were saying, there is less erosion. The gullies are holding together a little better.
Absolutely. You can see on the sides of the hills when we first came here that it was just dirt, and any rain events, you could see the dirt washing away into the creek and the amount of sand that was in there, where now you can see native grasses growing on the sides of those hills and the rain's not washing them away as much. And by excluding the sheep and the sheep tracks from the edges of a lot of those creeks, I think that, they're really benefiting that.
So what's been your association with the local Colour Pigeon Ponds Landcare Group and CMA? It sounds like you've had a pretty amazing relationship with them over a fair amount of time.
Yeah, since I returned back to the land, we have had quite a lot of contact with them. And when we bought this property here, I spoke with them. And since then, I've actually become the secretary treasurer for the last 10 years. With the group, and they're probably a group with a lot of experience. As we said that earlier, a lot of the general age of the farming population around here is actually probably 60 and above. So you've got a lot of guys with a lot of experience who are really good and really forthcoming with advice and hints and, different ideas to try. And Yeah, so they've been very, very good. And as we said, like, they were the ones that were more than happy to support us with a bit of financial assistance and advice with getting rid of the rabbits and who people to contact. And yeah, the local land care really has helped us out a hell of a lot. But yeah, definitely assistant financially has made a huge difference, because we wouldn't have been able to do the amount of work we have done if we had to have funded all by ourselves. And it's been, yeah, as we said, very beneficial for both environmentally and business relocation. So yeah, definitely very thankful for all the assistance we've got.
We feel confident to be able to approach the CMA to ask for assistance or guidance if needed on any of those questions, as we would the local land care group, which is important to have that two-way relationship.
Yeah. So in terms of striking a balance between conserving nature and farm production, those two things, you know, can work hand in hand. Do you feel as though you're getting closer to that? I mean, to actually being able to make money from this farm, but also conserving nature. I mean, these are two big challenges that, you know, on the face of it, don't always work, but actually can. Once you look at fencing off gullies and planting things, and but also getting those more productive perennial species into the areas that you can plant.
Absolutely. The fenced off areas are cohesive with the safety factors for humans, the erosion factors for keeping the stock off them, and yeah, keeping stock being able to eat the appropriate foods.
And even at Sheldon.
And Sheldon.
Like, depending on if you get rough conditions, you'll often find the stock will go down onto the fence lines next to where we've fenced off the creeks and things, because there's more trees, there's more shelter for cutting the wind. So it's definitely beneficial from that aspect as well. So,
but the finding alternative water points is more extreme here, because you've got to pump it up a long way. You've got to initially get it up to that header tank and then down to the others. So tell us a bit about the challenges of establishing those alternate water points, because you've overcome problems that most people have no idea about.
Well, we took a little bit of a gamble, hoping that it would make that next point, top of the next hill. Because if we weren't able to do that, fencing off the creeks removes all the water sources, because the land is not suitable for putting dams in. So by having the altimeter tell us that it was within 1 or 2 metres of being successful, we've managed to achieve that it was successful. So that now opens up that whole section of the farm that we can continue. So first point will be put a tank there, and then we can continue putting more troughs off that as the farm develops further.
So does that mean you can basically put a trough in every paddock from the highest point, rather than, so you don't rely on the creek at all as a water point?
Correct.
Yeah, we've basically set it up now that we've got 2 4-meg dams back here near the sheds that are at just short of the highest point. We pump from the main one of them to a central tank. From there, everything else is gravity fed through 2-inch lines, tank to tank, and then inch and a half from tank to trough right around the place, so we actually can connect the whole place through that reticulation system now.
Wow.
The plan was to fence Deep Creek off the whole way, so we would have lost or knew we were going to lose access to that creek water.
Yeah, well, I hope you've kind of, you know, given yourself a bit of a pat on the back for that, because that's a massive, that's a huge breakthrough for managing this farm. And you said something about 80 metres at one point from the creek to the first dam or something? What was that?
One of the dams that we have pumped from the creek to in the past, it's the lift is an 80 metre head. So, and I believe the ones from the base creek to, if we have to come back up to here, it's 90 metres worth ahead of lift. So yeah, it's a fairly significantly steep place. So
as long as we can maintain our two house dams, essentially, yeah, we should be pretty secure for most of them.
Yeah, well, that's a great milestone. So in terms of the future, how are you feeling about the future, and what are you hoping to achieve for the next 12 years? You've just you've done your first 12. What's the aims for the next 12?
Here you go. Okay. Look, further development within the property. We're hoping now we've actually established with the local CMA that we will actually finish the third stage of the fencing, which will allow us to fence the entire creek out. Therefore, hopefully it'll give us a little bit better management from our stock perspective. It'll give the creek a better chance, a bit more shelter belting scenario through it all. And then we can move probably back into more focus onto the pastures through the areas that we run the stock, and maybe even consider some of the steeper country that's not fenced out, how we can, you know, further develop that. But yeah, basically it just maybe try and shore up our water even a bit further if we can come up with another option. So,
and something we also didn't mention is the use of containment lots, which is fairly standard practice these days. But of course, in the last few years of severe drought, it's been even more important to keep stock off. And has that been beneficial as long as you've had the water to be able to keep stock off and let your pastures get away?
Absolutely. Yep. We started with three, then established another three, and we're in the current process of building another six pens to make that part of our standard process that after shearing in March, all stock just go into a containment pen so that the pastures can get away. And then when they're ready to lamb, they will go back out onto fresh pastures. So we've learnt a lot about water in that sense as well. So it helps make some decisions about why or where we're pumping water from, if we need to pump water from, and therefore the importance of having these two solid dams up at the house to make that reticulated system be appropriate for sheep and lambs as well.
Yeah, and it's been a horrific couple of years. You know, it's been two of the worst years on record for Southwest Victoria. I mean, people have learned a lot about their operations, but how do you feel about, I'm trying really hard not to use that terrible word resilience. I hate it so much, but I mean, do you feel as though if you've made it through this drought, you can make it, you're well positioned for what Mother Nature's going to throw at us into the future? Or how are you feeling about the future from that point of view?
We have always tried to be fairly proactive in our decision making. So for the last couple of years, we've been a little bit reactive rather than proactive. So resilience wise and Mother Nature, I think we are coping quite well with that. It's the external factors that we will struggle with in the future that we can't control. But
I think further to that too, that as Bobby said, being proactive, we've probably seen the benefits over the last 18 months of a lot of the work we've done prior. We'd built the containment yards out of necessity to start with, and then saw how well they worked and increased them. So having them there already, ready to go, set up, has made, you know, managing the last 18 months very easy, well, not very easy, but a lot less stressful, a lot more manageable. We took the option about 4 or 5 years ago to put the second dam in as a backup instead of wasting water down. We thought we'll put a dam in as a backup for the big dam. That's been, in hindsight, a great option because that got us out of trouble last year. So just a lot of the little things that we've had thinking in our background has really backed up, and over the last, I had to say, 80 months has really shown to be proactive and probably good thinking. So I think we're definitely in a lot better situation for the situation over the last 18 months and what we would have been had it happened 6 years ago.
Well, Bobby and Angus, thank you once again for showing me around and your time, and congratulations on what you've achieved in what is a pretty extreme farm here. All the best for the future.
Thank you.
The transformation on Bobby and Angus's property is amazing, and we certainly look forward to finishing the fencing of the creek with them. Our thanks to Marius Cumming, who's conducted this series of podcast interviews for the Glenelg Hopkins CMA. You can find out more about the land care works in the CMA area and our other land care leaders being showcased as part of this series by visiting our website at ghcma.vic.gov.au or by following us on any of the main social media channels.